ask the Lord to be pleased to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, and the 7th verse. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. Chapter 2, the book of Jonah, and the 7th verse. This word, which welled up in Jonah's breast long ago, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth was speaking, is one of the most wonderful words to encourage poor sinners to hope in God, sinners born again, who feel that their cases are unusual and out of the way, who feel their cases are indescribable in words, and they can hardly tell what they are or where they are in things divine, and yet there is help in God. The book of Jonah is often the butt of godless critics, but to people who have the mercy to be taught of God, as they journey on through life, they will thankfully acknowledge that it is in the category of what the Word of God declares. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Because, dear friends, if you and I are taught of God, we shall feel that we have no stones to fling at Jonah as we journey on through life. As we read what his behavior was before God, with whom he had to do, you and I will have to turn our eyes within and realize that our hearts are Jonah-like, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and that what other people taught of God have been left to do, as recorded in the Word of God, you and I might be left to do likewise, but for the keeping power of God, with caution we should tread, for as we sow, we reap, and oft bring mischief on our heads by some unwary step. I have thought sometimes, and I still think, that scripture in the Epistle of Peter is a great word to ponder in our hearts and seek a living interest therein. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And you and I, if we are taught of God, will know of a truth. Myself I cannot save, myself I cannot keep, but strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never sleep. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to look at this subject from three viewpoints of it, and look a little at the setting of it, for that is very striking, and if viewed aright, it is very instructive. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he was a man taught of God and ordained to be a prophet. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And very solemn is the continuation, as you are aware. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. What was behind Jonah's behavior? As the word of the Lord came to him, Arise, go to Nineveh, Jonah, being an Israelite indeed, reacted to it. And he said deep down in his heart, I will go anywhere to preach to Israelites, if God should send me. But as for preaching to Ninevites, no. No, I do not want to go to preach the Ninevites. In other words, the Ninevites were Gentiles. And they were Israel's inveterate foes. And here, Jonah failed very, very much to realize what is the essence of the gospel of the grace of God? Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, ere he died, proclaimed concerning those who were his enemies, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But Jonah had not drunk into the Spirit of Christ like that. And he thought his own thoughts and reacted to the word of the Lord, Arise, go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, No. No. He did not want the Ninevites to obtain any mercy. And now I need take up no time in trying to show you that such a spirit is altogether foreign to the gospel of Christ. And now, when the Lord gives a word to anyone who is taught of God, whatever that word is, it should be remembered what Jesus Christ said to his disciples, Follow me. And if the word seems to you one hard to be understood, it is for you to be obedient to it, as you read in the Word of God, as obedient children, not to argue, cavil, or dictate what should be done or not be done, but to do what is the Word of the Lord. For that and that alone will bring glory to the Lord in his dealings with poor sinners down through the ages. And the Lord dealt with Jonah. Oh, the word of God is very solemn. Thou, God, seest me. And although Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and was a disobedient prophet, the eye of the Lord was upon him and he dealt with him. And oh, how solemn were the dealings of God with Jonah. And yet, when at length he is cast into the sea, and as the word of God tells us, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And now I judge this to be one of the most striking instances the Word of God contains, and what you dear young people will be able to recognize when I tell you that this is a real evidence that the religion that is of God is altogether supernatural. And now Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And as he was therein, he was surrounded with all the terrors of death. And yet, his religion was made manifest there as being that which God was the author of. Here is the evidence. Then Jonah prayed. I've sometimes been very impressed in listening to some of our people when they have come before the church to give a detail of the dealings of God with their souls. And again and yet again, they have used this expression relating some special trouble which came upon them as they journeyed on through life when they got good for their souls. And they have said, "Oh, if ever I prayed, it was then." And if you like to go through the Word of God and search out the thens, you will find quite a few thens where people taught of God prayed. And they prayed in their prayer, as you read, margin reading, and Elijah prayed in his prayer. And so it was with Jonah. But was he in the fish's belly only? No. All around him there was terror. What the outcome might be, Jonah could not tell. But he was alive. But in his soul's feelings, he was in the belly of hell. Oh, Jonah had got a companion with him where he was, in the fish's belly and in the belly of hell. And that was a guilty conscience. And there he was, even then, in such circumstances, arraigned before God, with whom he had to do. And he humbles himself. "I cried by reason of mine affliction," margin, "out of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me." Oh, but what must Jonah's feelings have been? How difficult to describe. "Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Does it not remind you of godly David when he said, "The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then cried I unto the Lord, and he heard my voice." Yes. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." You go back over your life. You can do it, quite a few of you, the greyheads especially, and some of you whose heads are not yet grey. Go back over your life as you have lived it, and ponder in your heart the times when it could have been said by you, then I prayed, and you got help to do it, and you got help from God. Yes. And Jonah says this, "I am cast out of thy sight." And that was how he felt. It was not the truth of the matter, because the eye of the Lord was upon him where he was, in the belly of hell as he felt, and in the whale's belly as he really was. The eye of the Lord was upon him there, but according to his own feelings, Jonah was on the borderland of despair. "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple." And now, here you see faith in wonderful exercise in the most unusual circumstances. And it was so with godly Job long before, when his circumstances were so complicated And what did he say? Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And Jonah did not know how matters were going to fall out. But he did what God enabled him to do. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And the hymn writer says, you might have been glad of it. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul encouraged by thy word at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look and look again. And how wonderful is the sight that is given to living faith. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And you must not think that Jonah had in his mind Solomon's temple, or the temple that was built after Solomon's temple was destroyed. No, no. Thy holy temple. He was thinking of Jesus Christ, where the God shines gracious through the man. Remember that. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Oh, it was to the sinner's friend that Jonah was enabled by living faith to look and look again. I will look again toward thy holy temple. And that brings us down to our subject. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And now what a wonderful comment this is on that word of the Saviour. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And now it shows to us what that word means. Wherefore, he is able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by him, for he ever liveth to make intercession for them. But ere Jonah got a deliverance, and the Lord appeared on his behalf and brought him forth and sent him again to do the work he was at first sent out to do, Jonah had to make a confession. And he says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And now, it was a lying vanity for Jonah to be more concerned about his own reputation as a prophet if he did go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah had a thought in his breast that the Lord would be, as he often is in his dealings with poor sinners, he would grant the Ninevites mercy. And then it would look as though Jonah was not a prophet with a good reputation because his prophecy had not been fulfilled. And now that is termed a lying vanity. Jonah was more concerned about his own reputation as a prophet than to go and preach the gospel to the Ninevites. And sometimes men sent of God to preach nowadays are perhaps more concerned with their reputation as being the men that they are known to be, to sometimes do what the word of the Lord is when it should come. Arise, go to Nineveh and preach, and then for them to go. It is well to remember that Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation. What the word of the Lord is, that you and I must seek divine aid to obey it, whatever our thoughts about it may be in the doing of it leave the issue with God. And so, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And there is just one other comment I will make here. Then I will open up the subject as grace is given. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And now listen. So the people of Nineveh believed God. You might have thought it would read, So the people of Nineveh believed Jonah. No, believed God. Because it was the word of the Lord proclaimed by Jonah, and they believed God was indeed the author of it. And they repented, and God acknowledged it for what it was worth. I say that with great reverence, for it was just a national repentance. And the Lord accepted it. And he would accept that from England as a nation, if it could be produced, or that it might be. The judgment of God came upon Nineveh 150 years afterwards, when the word of Jonah, as he proclaimed it, was fulfilled to the uttermost. And it is said in the little book of Nahum concerning Nineveh, God is the speaker, I will dig thy grave. And you can only find a mound or two nowadays, if the archaeologists have searched amidst the so-called ruins, and that is all that is left of Nineveh, one of the greatest cities the world has ever seen. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The word of the Lord was ultimately fulfilled, but as the people of Nineveh proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them, the Lord accepted it. And God saw their work, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. And that means he did it not at that time. As it were, speaking with great reverence, he suspended his judgment, but it came down in an awful fullness 150 years afterwards. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And now in this subject, there is much, as grace is given, to unfold it, to encourage poor sinners born again to hope in God. And many of us, even those who have had our names on the church roll so long that we have grown grey-headed while they have been recorded there, do know what it is to have fainting souls. When my soul fainted within me. And now what is it that causes people to faint? It is a lack of oxygen in the air where they are. And they go down under it, and they faint. For the want of that which keeps us alive and lively to do our duties and face our difficulties. And what is it that brings about a fainting soul in people who are taught of God? It is still a want of oxygen. But it is, if I may use the word, spiritual oxygen. What does the hymn writer say? Now from the throng withdrawn away, they seem to breathe a different air. composed and softened by the day, all things in other aspect were. It is want of being enabled to breathe the atmosphere of heaven, which alone can keep our souls alive and lively in things divine. And I'm very much afraid that most folk who are taught of God, as you and I know of them in our own denominational life, often have fainting souls for the want of that which is the power of God unto salvation to every one which believeth. I will look at some of these things which bring about a fainting soul where the sinner is indeed born again. If the sinner was not born again, he would not react to the things within and without that brings about a fainting soul. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And now, have you noticed? I have no doubt you have, but have you pondered in your heart prayerfully and sought to reduce it to practice? Have you noticed the word diligent in the sacred pages in your readings? The soul of the diligent should be made fat. And now, if it should be otherwise with you, and you are not diligent, if your hands are slack in the things of God, and if you are cold and lethargic in your worship of God in public and private life too, you will have a fainting soul as the outcome of it. It is not written without deep meaning, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. You must not balk at that word diligence, because I've thought many times, if even people taught of God were only half as diligent in things divine as they are to get on in the things of everyday life and line their nest well and gather all the comforts together they can under their home's roof, they would look a lot better in living the life of the righteous than they often do. I'm not fitting any caps on. I'm just telling you the truth. Preacher and people alike must all plead guilty here. When prayer is a burden and task, no wonder I little receive. O Lord, make me willing to ask, since thou art so ready to give. When my soul fainted within me. You will faint sometimes when you turn your eyes within and you get a God-given sight of how sad our state by nature is. It is very solemn and very painful to contemplate. And Isaiah describes it, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. And you know, this is plentifully described in our hymn book. And you find many of the hymn writers define it. One you will remember, if I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, full of unbelief and sin. Can I deem myself a child? And you faint at the sight of what you are by nature and your guiltiness before God, your undone state in the Adam fall, because you were made aware in the midst of it all of your utter helplessness in things divine and how impossible it is for you to better your state in your soul, although you feel as you do. Oh, you want that which a man cannot receive, except it be given him from heaven. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. How wonderful a comment this word of Jonah's is. On that word, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And that means every poor sinner born again whose heart is sincere, who is honest-hearted before God as he approaches the majesty of heaven. And so it was with Jonah. Oh, poor Jonah had to be like the woman in the gospel. Falling down at Jesus' feet, she told him all the truth. And that is what you will have to do to get relief for your fainting soul. You will be made aware of some things you have been guilty in, whereby you have got a fainting soul come upon you. Your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. I like what is recorded in the book of Job. If any man say, I have sinned, I have done that which is not right, and it profiteth me not, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. Oh, it is good news from heaven, dear friends, if we confess our sins. Even though you are like poor Jonah in the belly of hell, in your soul's feelings, and reduced to self-despair, and wondering if there can be hope for such an one as you feel to be. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here is the remedy. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. As though Jonah said, I remembered that he is the sinner's friend. I remember it is recorded by the psalmist, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. I remembered the Lord. I remembered who he is, verily God, verily man. I remembered, behold, God is almighty, and he despiseth not any. Oh, to the gracious King approach, who set to pardon gives, perhaps he will command my touch, and then the suppliant lives. When my soul fainted within me. Sometimes you will have a fainting soul because of your everyday life, with the stress and strain of it, duties to do, difficulties to face, and you find every day new straits attend, and life seems to become to you more and more complicated, and your soul faints in the midst of it, and you need divine aid to continue. And that divine aid is attainable. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is the way, dear friends. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You and I have got to learn even deeper down yet, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Then are they brought to their wit's end. Margin reading, all their wisdom is swallowed up. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. O thou that hearest prayer is one of the dearest titles given to God, with whom you and I have to do. And good it is that some of us can declare that Christ is God. I can avouch and for his people care, since I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You will have a fainting soul sometimes, because you have quite a deal to do with the world in your everyday life, it may be, to earn the bread which perisheth, and the spirit of the world reacts upon you, and your soul is deadened thereby, and more like a wilderness often than what it could be as a watered garden. Oh, it does need much grace to be separated from the world. The spirit of it creeps in, comes in through eye gate, comes in through ear gate. Yes. And you were brought to the ends of the earth, and you awake to a solemn consciousness that your soul is painting for the want of something from heaven to make it to be more lively in things divine and keep you more separated from the world in which you live and move. When my soul fainted within me. You may have a fainting soul, because in everyday life, if you should go without food, you will become faint for the want of nourishment. And now it might be that you come into an experience in the dealings of God with you, that even under the gospel and gathering around where the gospel table is spread, it may be to you that there seems nothing to solace your soul. No spiritual food can you seem to obtain. Hardly a crumb of mercy to keep you hoping against hope. And you find such cases are recorded in the Word of God. Here is one. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. To go without food, and more still, to go without water to drink, will bring about a fainting state in our soul's experience. And it needs that you should inquire, if such is your case, is there not a cause? The word of God still remains, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But you, alas, have a fainting soul for the want of that which alone can satisfy your hunger and solace your thirst. What are you to do? What can you do? What can you do but seek divine aid to do this? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. In such a case as yours, makes you think of what Moses, the man of God, said to Israel of old. The case that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And you, poor sinner, you must carry your case to the Lord and tell him all the truth as to what you are, what you desire to be. And you will find this is a great truth. I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. You find some pattern prayer, shall I say, in the Word of God, when you were in such a case with your soul hungry and thirsty and fainting. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. And here is the one that will suit you best of all. Lord, save or I perish. And you find then the arm of the Lord is put forth, and you know that the arm of the Lord is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Sometimes you may have a fainting soul because you can remember when your soul was lively in things divine, when you could dwell upon the things of God with sweet pleasure and realize man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God does man live. When you could rejoice in hope of life eternal. And now, if you contemplate your fainting soul, you have to say with the church, we cannot see our signs. You try to remember the way God has led you along, but all seems to be in obscurity and darkness. Zeal extinguished to a spark, life is very low, all my evidence is dark, and good works I've none to show. And your soul does indeed faint as you wonder what has happened to all your past experience, what has become of your religion that once helped you to live near to God, and the things of God were then the element in which you lived and moved. Oh, but there is a word recorded in the book of Joel. I will restore to you the years which the locust and the canker and the caterpillar and the palmer worm hath eaten. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Oh, he can restore life to what seemed dead before. As you remember the Lord, do remember what he declares. I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. No, no. What you want, poor sinner, in your fainting state, is to realize the power of his resurrection. And that will revive in your soul all that he has done for your soul. And help you to feel as you want to feel, that he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When my soul fainted within me, you may be saying, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. You are cast down in your soul. But what did David say also in that beautiful psalm of his, the cast down soul psalm, as it is termed? O my God, my soul is cast down within me, but I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. There were some places in David's earlier life where the hand of God had been upon him for good, in some way outstanding, and he called those things to mind, and he could argue, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, would he have shown us all these things? And it helped him to hope even against hope. So you will find it to be, who against hope believed in hope. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah, when he was in the whale's belly, and in the belly of hell, as he tells us in this beautiful little book of his, and remember, Jonah is the author of it, inspired by God. And do remember, dear friends, it needs a great deal of grace for a man to write his own autobiography and put down in black and white for every eye to read what his faults really were. Sometimes autobiographies are rather overlooked to correct them, and they put the best face upon a man whose life is set forth therein. But it is not like that in the Word of God. No. Makes me think of Cromwell when he lived, and there was some great concern that he should have his portrait painted, and he did not wish it, and at last he consented, but only on one condition, that they should paint him as he was, with a wart on his face. And that is just what the Word of God does in setting forth people who are taught of God. There is no touching up allowed in the Word of God to make the photograph flatter the one whose photograph it is. No, it is stern, stark truth. And so it must be with you as you appear before God. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And with your fainting soul, as you remember the Lord and you venture to his footstool, you will have to say, to thee I come, a sinner great, and well thou knowest all my state, yet full forgiveness is with thee. O God, be merciful to me. And this word, for which I have said just a little in this morning's sermon, will help you to realize Jesus' blood through earth and skies. Mercy, eternal mercy, Christ. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And who can tell but what God will be gracious to you? Amen.